श्रवणम डायरीज पॉडकास्ट।
रीडिंग नेक्टर ऑफ डिवोशन, अ समरी स्टडी बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रीला प्रभुपादा ऑन द बुक ऑफ श्रीला रूप गोस्वामी भक्ति रसामृत सिंधु। The following reading is not to be listened out of context in order to avoid confusion or misunderstanding if you haven't been with us all the way. This book began at episode 832, so please approach this chapter in proper sequence for your best interest. Thank you. Chapter 40. Reverential devotion of sons and other subordinates. True. Reverential devotion is exhibited by persons who think themselves subordinate to Krishna and by persons who think themselves sons of Krishna. The best examples of this subordination are Saranagada and Subhadra. They were all members of the Yadu dynasty and they always used to think themselves protected by Krishna. Similarly, Krishna's sons, such as Pradyumna, Charudeshna, and Samba, felt the same way. Krishna had many sons in Dwaraka. He begot 10 sons by each of his 16,108 queens. And all of these sons, headed by Pradyumna, Charudeshna, and Samba, used to think themselves always protected by Krishna. When Krishna's sons dined with him, they would sometimes open their mouths for Krishna to feed them. Sometimes when Krishna would pat one of his sons, the son would sit on Krishna's lap, and while Krishna was blessing the son's head by smelling it, the others would shed tears, thinking, how many pious activities he must have performed in his previous life. Out of Krishna's many sons, Pradyumna, a son of Krishna's chief queen, Rukmini, is considered the leader. Pradyumna's bodily features resemble Krishna's exactly. Pure devotees of Krishna glorify Pradyumna because he is so fortunate. Like father, like son. There is a description in the Harivamsa of Pradyumna's activities when he kidnapped Prabhavati. Pradyumna addressed Prabhavati at that time and said, quote, "My dear Prabhavati, just look at the head of our family, Shri Krishna. He is Vishnu himself, the supreme driver of Garuda, and he is our supreme master. Because we have become so proud and confident of his protecting us, we sometimes do not even care about fighting with Tripurari, Lord Shiva." Unquote. There are two kinds of devotees engaged in devotional service with awe and veneration: the Lord's subordinates and his sons. The servitors in the abode of Dwaraka always worship Krishna as the most respectable and revered personality of Godhead. They are captivated by Krishna because of his super excellent opulences. The members who always thought themselves protected by Krishna could readily convert their conviction into practical demonstration because it was sometimes found that the sons of Krishna acted very unlawfully in various places but were nonetheless given full protection by Krishna and Balarama. Even Balaram, the elder brother of Krishna, sometimes unknowingly offered respect to him. Unknowingly? Once when Krishna came before Lord Balaram, Krishna was anxious to offer his respects to his elder brother, but at the at that time, Brahma's club was lowered down upon Krishna's lotus feet. In other words, the club in Balaram's hand offered its own respects to Krishna. These feelings of subordination, as explained above, are sometimes manifested as anubhava. When demigods from the heavenly planets came to Sri Krishna, all of Krishna's sons followed them, and Lord Balaram sprinkled water from his kamandalu upon them. When the demigods came before Krishna, the sons, instead of sitting on golden chairs, sat down on the floor, which was covered with deer skin. See, this is culture, right? Demigods came, and the sons, they would not sit on golden chairs in front of the demigods. They would sit on the floor. I remember in 2010, my Guru Maharaj visited our house in Mumbai, and he brought his servant, Prem Prakash, at that time. And we were all taking pictures after we took dinner, and all of us went downstairs into the studio area, and we sat on the chairs next to Guru Maharaj to take pictures. And Prem Prakash sat down on the floor, smiling. And we didn't realize at the heat, not in the heat of the moment, but, you know, in real time, like everyone is moving this and that, something, you know, just you don't pay attention or you're not focused on what other people are doing. So, you know, we just took pictures, and maybe we even told him, like, get up, there's a seat right there. Like, there was an empty couch. And Prem Prakash was like, no, I'm okay. He was, you know, he insisted to sit on the floor. And at that time, I didn't even think much about it. But then later on, I realized that, you know, Guru Maharaj is sitting on the chair, and all of us are sitting on the same level with him. Like next to him, like, I don't know. And Prem Prakash, because he is Indian, and he's cultured, and he is like, you know, he has that sense, he didn't feel like sitting next, like on the level with Guru Maharaj. He sat on the floor. So, you know, that kind of demonstrates that, you know, in practical life, that reverence that you show. So this reminded me the same thing that Krishna's sons, demigods, came. They would not sit on golden chairs. They sat on the floor. Sometimes the behavior of Krishna's sons appears similar to the behavior of his personal servants. For example, the sons used to offer their obeisances. They were silent, submissive, and gentle. And they were always ready to carry out Krishna's orders, even at the risk of their life. When present before Krishna, they bowed down on the ground. They were very silent and steady, and they used to restrain coughing and laughing before the Lord. All of this is basically that, right? Respect and... Also, all of this, it makes sense only for Indians. I'm sorry. Like, I have to bring this up because to me, before, like, I grew up in Russia, even though I'm from another country. So, and, you know, in Western countries, you don't have much of that consideration, I would say. To some extent, maybe, but it's not very outward. It's not very obvious, I would say. But in India, they're very much sensitive about this, that, you know, elders are there. Why are you, like, talking loudly, or why are you, you know, like, you have to be considerate, and you have to be respectful, and all of this, you know. You can't be irreverent. So that aspect is really, can be seen in this culture. And it's coming from the spiritual world, of course. So, they were very silent and steady, and they used to restrain coughing and laughing before the Lord, right? Also, they never discussed Krishna's pastimes in conjugal love. In other words, devotees who are engaged in reverential devotional service should not discuss the conjugal loving affairs of Krishna. No one should claim his eternal relationship with Krishna unless he is liberated. In the conditioned state of life, the devotees have to execute the prescribed duties as recommended in the codes of devotional service. When one is mature in devotional service and is a realized soul, he can know his own eternal relationship with Krishna. One should not artificially try to establish some relationship. In the premature stage, it is sometimes found that a lusty, conditioned person will artificially try to establish some relationship with Krishna in conjugal love. The result of this is that one becomes prakrita sahajya, or one who takes everything very cheaply. Although such persons may be very anxious to establish a relationship with Krishna in conjugal love, their conditioned life in the material world is still most abominable. A person who has actually established his relationship with Krishna can no longer act on the material plane, and his personal character cannot be criticized. This is such an important point. Seriously, because Prakrita Sahajya, it's not like it died like when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was fighting it. It's not like it died or disappeared when, of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was fighting it. It's not like everybody learned their lessons when Srila Prabhupada was fighting it and like trying to stop his disciples from doing it. No, it's still very much prevalent. It's still very much seen around nowadays. And the result is that everything is so cheap, right? Bhakti, like the relationship with Krishna, eternal constitutional position, all of these, everything becomes so cheap because we are lusty conditioned souls who artificially try to act as if we're something else. And we're not even allowed to read second part of the Nectar of Devotion to figure out that we are not so elevated. So, really, like, cut the nonsense. It's really, really important to study the second part of Nectar of Devotion. It's very, very important to understand where we are. What is our position? Not just our position, also what are other devotees' positions? Of course, I've heard somewhere a quote that you never know another devotee's position, so better treat everyone as a Mahabhagavata. You know, it's nice. It's a very wonderful perspective. At the same time, then if everyone is a Mahabhagavata, then if we see Prakrita Sahajya, then how do we stop it? Or how do we avoid it? Or how do we not fall into, you know, just like Srila Prabhupada, he could see that somebody opened the Gopi Bhava Club and they imagine, they manifest themselves into Krishna's pastimes when they're really clearly not on the level to do that. And what? Right? So, yes, we should be very, very respectful to everyone. We should be very cautious when we deal with others. But at the same time, if something is nonsensical, we can at least question nicely, right? Politely. Otherwise, conditioned life is abominable. And I like how Srila Prabhupada writes here, although such persons may be very anxious to establish a relationship with Krishna in conjugal love, it's not bad to desire, meaning devotional service, right? But it's bad to jump and artificially do that, right? Because relationship takes two, right? It takes two to tango. I mean, tango. I don't like tango. Yeah. It's just a phrase. It takes... love is a two-side street. Let's just say like that, right? So love is a two-side street. So there is endeavors from our part, and then there is Krishna reciprocating with us. And there's Srimati Radharani reciprocating with us, there's Gaur Nitai reciprocating with us, right? So it's like, you understand? So we can't just be like, I think I figured everything out, and Krishna's like, what? Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for tuning in today. The book links, previous episodes timeline, and biography of the author can be found on shravanamdiaries.com. The link is in the description, and we shall see you tomorrow. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.